إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، إخوة في الله، فاعلموا أن خير الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار، والعياذ بالله. As most of you are aware of it, the theme of this day is attitude. An attitude we can translate in different ways. We can say manners, we can say akhlaq, we can say adab. And one of the adab, or one of the etiquettes, or one of the attitude that we should have towards certain things are the things that we need to cover for the day, inshallah. And in my opinion, the most important thing that we should think, or we should talk about it, is it our attitude towards the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the simple reason that we chose this is because the illah, all the problem, all the difficulties that we have, all the fitnas that we face, all the calamities that we're going through, it is solely based on the Book of Allah, or based our attitude towards the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the ulama rahimahumullah, when they were talking about this subject or writing about this subject, they called hijr al-Qur'an. And the term of hijrah in the sharia, it is for you to leave a place to another place, lughatan. And shar'an is for the believer to leave a land of kufr to the land of Muslims. Like the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, who made hijrah from Makkah to Medina, leaving the land of kufr or the place of kufr to the land of Muslims, making hijrah to Medina. Now the question that we may ask ourselves is, can a Muslim make hijrah from the Book of Allah? Can a person make hijrah from the Qur'an? Yes. Can he neglect the Book of Allah? Yes. Al-hijrah, ya ikhwati, laha anwa. There's a different kinds of hijrah. قال العلماء أولها, the first kind of hijrah, القول في القرآن ما ليس فيه. For you to say about the Qur'an which is not part of it. In turns, it's for the kuffar, mainly to say this is not the words of Allah. To say this is a sihr, this is magic, or a sham, this is a poem. This is called kufr al-hijran. And the kuffar at the beginning, they liked the Qur'an. They liked it so much that the kuffar, the chiefs of the kuffar, like Aba Jahl wa Umayyah bin Khalf wa Utbah, they used to sneak to the house, come to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and sit outside of the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so they may listen that what Allah has revealed on this man, knowing that they're openly fighting this man, knowing that they reject whatever this man stands for, knowing that they don't believe what this man is reciting. But they used to come and listen to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, or Allah said in the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَحْجُورًا. He said, oh Allah, my people, he's talking about the Quraysh. He said, my people, they desert this Quran. They abandon this book. They reject this book. And this is a kufr al-hijran. And most of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not be called or will not be classified under this category simply because they don't believe that. And the most of them, illa qaleel mithl al-ash'ariyah wal-mu'tazila, they believe this is the book of Allah and these are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason for the people who don't believe that this is the words of Allah is because they compare between the naql and the aql. And they said in naql, which is the book of Allah in this term, it is equal to the aql of mankind. And these are the group who said the book of Allah, but this is not the words of Allah, but it is one of the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason they were trying to avoid this is because they believe that the superiority belongs to the aql. مَا يَرَهُ الْعَقْلُ حَسَنًا فَهُوَ حَسَنٌ وَمَا يَرَهُ قَبِيحًا فَهُوَ قَبِيحٌ. Whatever the intellect of mankind sees as beautiful, acceptable, it is indeed acceptable and beautiful. And whatever their mind sees unacceptable, then indeed it's not acceptable. And that's why they said, if we allow the book of Allah to be called the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the aql will not have the authority and the power that it has. So we have to claim and say that the Qur'an also makhluq, like the aql. لِأَنَّ كُلِّ مَخْلُوقٍ يَدْخُلُهُ النَّقْصِ. Because every creation or everything that has been created, insufficiency is part of it. So when you say the Qur'an is makhluq and the net words of Allah, then you say also error can happen in the book of Allah. And in this case, if the aql doesn't accept the ayah, then it's permissible to reject it. Because that's why the Qur'an يقول لقرطبي أي قالوا فيه غير الحق من أنه سحر أو شعر. القرطبي رحمه الله, when he was translating, giving the tafsir of this ayah, he said, they said about it that is which is not the truth. They said either this a sihr, this is a magic, or this is a shi'r, this is nothing but a poem. وقال الطبراني رحمه الله, وقال الطبري عفوا يعني قولهم فيه سيء من القول فقالوا فيه غير الحق. They said that they said an evil statement about the Quran which is not the haq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second i'rad ya ikhwa, the second hijr that we have from the Quran, it is the thing that called an i'rad an al-Quran. An al-i'rad is you reject and you do a laghu fil Quran. And a laghu is you do not allow to listen to the book of Allah. And you will see that in the hands of the kuffar, on the statement of the kuffar when they make that. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yaqul, qala al kuffar, they said, لا تسمعوا لهذا القرآن والغوا فيه لعلكم تغلبوا. The kuffar, when they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they tried to negotiate with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and their negotiation was not accepted. And they try to claim that this is a sihr. The only way they decided they can defeat this book is not to listen to it, but make much noises when the Quran is being recited. قَالُوا لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. Do not listen to this Quran. وَلْغَوْ فِيهِ. And when the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recites, أَلْغَوْ فِيهِ. Raise your noise, raise your voices. And make so much noise that the people will not listen to the Quran. And that's why in Mecca, Masjid al-Haram, Masjid al-Haram, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to come to the Haram and recite, the kuffar of the Quraysh used to stand in a circle and used to talk loud so that people would not hear the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third hijr that we have, ikhwa, what we call tarku tilawatu bil kulliyah, is when we make a hijr from the recitation of the book. When we stop reciting this book, this is considered to be a hijr from the Book of Allah. And you would agree with me that most of the ummah has indeed walked away from the Book of Allah. And the Book of Allah became a form of barakah. We read the Book of Allah when someone dies. We read the Book of Allah when someone gets sick. We read the Book of Allah when someone is getting married, just the opening. We read the Book of Allah on the graves, cemeteries. We read the Book of Allah on that area, and we do not read the Book of Allah as a way of life, as a guidance that would guide mankind. And that's what the ulama rahimahumullah call, this is qira'at ghar al-i'radu tarku tilawat al-Qur'ani bil-kulliyya. And the ummah, they differ in this. Some of them, they only recite the Qur'an as we have like Qur'an khani, and some of you may not be too pleased with this. And we bring and we call the people who never came to the masjid of Allah. We never came to the house of Allah. And simply because a distant cousin died, we ask him to come and read this book and send the hasanat for that person. Knowing this person, we're requesting him to recite the book. He doesn't know the etiquette of the Book of Allah, reciting the Book of Allah. He doesn't know the tajweed of the book. He doesn't know anything about the ahkam. And worse than that, he doesn't even read for himself. So we say, Ya Akhi, read and send your hasanat to the person, to the deceased. Or we come and we say, Mashallah, we're better than that group, and we come to the month of Ramadan and we listen to the tilawah behind the imam. And in Laylatul Qadr, that we think is a Laylatul Qadr 27, we cry and we weep and we think we met Laylatul Qadr and this is sufficient for us. And we don't realize we indeed walked away from the Book of Allah and we made hijrah from the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يقول ابن عباس رضي الله عنه يقول الذي ليس في جوفه شيء من القرآن كالبيت الخرب. He said the person who has nothing, who has no Quran in his heart, who did not memorize anything from the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's like a bayt al-kharib, an abandoned house that no one lives but a shayateen wal jinn. A house that is full of filth. A house that you will not allow yourself to be in it. If you have no Quran in your heart, indeed you are like that house. The fourth hijr of the Quran is the nasyan, that you forget what have you memorized, the thing, the ayat or the surah that you memorized. And this is people think it is okay to memorize and to forget, but it's not. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came up in Tirmidhi, he said, I was shown the sins of my ummah, and I could not see any sin greater than the sin of a person who memorized the Quran then he forgot it. And the ulama rahimahumullah said, This is to the people who purposely neglected the book of Allah. Not because they got old or because they got sick and they were not able to keep up their memorization or the hizb of the day, but because of laziness or because they became so much engaged in this dunya, they even forgot the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ulama said, rahimahumullah, this is the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَ حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا قال كذلك أتتك آياتنا فنسيتها وكذلك اليوم تنسى. سبحان الله. He said, ومن أعرض whoever rejects, he turns away from my remembrance. فإن له معيشة ضنكا. He will indeed have a difficult life. He will face a lot of difficulties in his life. There will be no barakah in his children. There will be no barakah in his wealth. There will be no barakah on his time. He will only live through hardship upon hardship. فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ يقول العلماء يقول العرب. Even the term ضَنْكَ, it is difficult for Arab to say it. And he said, because the life of the person will be so difficult, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used this term to describe the life that they will live. فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. And the worst of that, وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. And the day Allah, يوم القيامة, Allah will resurrect that person as a blind person. And the person will come to Allah. And he will say, رَبِّ لِمَ حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى. Why did you raise me up as a blind person? And I used to see. Then Allah will respond, كَذَلِكَ likewise, أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا. Our ayat, our sign came to you. فَنَسِيْتَهَا. You neglected, you forgot all about it. وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. And likewise, we will forget all about you today. نسأل الله العفو والعافية. نسأل الله العفو والعافية. حكم هجر القرآن يا إخوة. The حكم of making hijrah from the Quran. It differs and differs يا إخوة. Some of the hijrah considered to be kufr. If the person neglect the book of Allah, deliberately thinking this is not what was suited his life, then that person is a kafir. If the person neglects this book, then ulama said, أنها من الكبائر, he is committing a major sin. يقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم in the hadith, اقرأوا القرآن فإنه يجيء يوم القيامة شفيعا لأصحابه. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, read the Quran, for it قال فإنه يجيء, for it shall come as intercessor. يوم القيامة, your lawyer is not the lawyer that you hire in this dunya. يوم القيامة, your lawyer is not your cousin, your friend. يوم القيامة, the only thing that will defend you is your amal, and part of your amal is the Quran. كما يقول رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم, فإنه يجيء يوم القيامة شفيعا لأصحابه, for its companion, the people who used to recite. ويقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه. He said, the best of you, if we only understood the book of Allah, as the Sahaba radiallahu understood this book, we would not have all this problem that we see. Our women would not be as they are today. Our children would not behave the way they behave. Our life would completely change. Here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's giving a scale, that you scale people, a balance you can check the people up. And he's saying, خيركم, the best of you, خيركم من تعلم القرآن, is the one who learns the Quran, وعلمني, teaches. Not the one who has a PhD, يا إخوة. Not the one who has the fattest account out of you. But خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمني. And the funny thing is, the the kuffar, especially the Christians, when they came to our countries, when they enslaved us, they made sure that the Quran is out of the life of the Muslims in every possible way. Now, how do you measure the person? How do you respect according to what? According to how much he knows about his deen? According to how many surah he memorized? According to how often he comes to the masjid? No. We scale the person and we respect the person according to his status in a community. If he's a doctor, mashallah. If he is a businessman, mashallah, we bring him close to us. If he is a man who has a lot of money, he is well respected. If he is a man from a certain tribe, we also respect that person. But if the man memorizes the book of Allah, this is okay, he's a hafiz. Not a big deal. One of the ulama, one of the du'a, he said, we check our children, we see. And if the person is the kid, if the kid is so smart, so intelligent, so sharp, we say, mashallah, this can be a doctor, mashallah. He's going to be a doctor. He's going to be this. But if the child, he cannot make it his school, he's dropped out, he's no good, then we say, mashallah, he looks like faqih. He looks like an imam. Mashallah, he can go to the masjid. Now then we send him to the masjid. This is how we really respect, how we evaluate the person. And it is not because our deen is teaching us. It is simply because when they came to us, when the kuffar came to us, they painted that picture in the hearts of the Muslims. I don't know, most of you are from Muslim country. And you used to see how the muallim, but especially from the brothers from Somalia, how the muallim or mudarris of the Quran used to look. Very humble. Very, you know, yellow thawb. The thawb with the color of his thawb turned yellow. Not because it was yellow, but because he doesn't care about it. And his, you know, appearance from outside, it is not a decent looking person. And his imamah is turned and he's making a turban out of it. And his sandals, he's wearing something we call das. You know, it's the slippers that we make wudu with. And the worst of that, he has a long stick. Very long stick. Why? Because this is the only way he can teach the kids. He beats them. He hits them so they can memorize the Quran. But the English teacher, he gets the most or the best salary out of everyone. He's just nice. If you pass his course, you're good. If you fail in the Quran class or Arabic class, it's not a problem. I remember when I was a little kid, and I used to hate Islamic school. I used to hate the Quran classes. Why? Because the only thing that I used to see is the teacher hitting me. I used to hate it. But I used to be forced to go to the mal'ama. You call mal'ama. And soon I go there, the teacher or the sheikh, he would have his stick. He said, read. And soon, just imagine a little child, and the first thing that you see is a stick, and someone is screaming in your face. And you will forget every surah that you memorize. Read. So, the Sheikh, Jazakallah Khair, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they did not know better, ya ikhwah. They've been brainwashed. So when the Sheikh, he used to hold his stick up, and he used to say, read. And when you make a mistake, you say, huh? With his frown face, strong eyes, and the child will lose balance. And he will say, ah, three times, you respond, then your reward is this stick. So I thought, huh, is a part of the ayah of the Quran. So I was in Surah Al-Ikhlas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive my sheikh. So I came and I was ready. And I was ready only for the first ayah, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. And my mother, may Allah have mercy on her, she gave me what they call nusa sa'a. They give you, you know, a small amount of money so you can buy your lunch. But that day I decided to buy a stick for the teacher so he can also forgive me. And I thought I did good because قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهَ وَحَدْ and the rest of the Qur'an is and we're good to go. So he came, I first walked into the class with a beautiful smile, gave him my stick. He said, MashaAllah. And he put it next to him with a lot of other sticks. SubhanAllah. And then he said, Shayd. And I came up later and he said, Iqra, read. And I said, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ وَحَدْ say, huh? And I said, خَلَص, فُتِحَتْ. All you have to say is, ha, ha, ha. So I say, ha, 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 ha. So he thought that I was making fun of him. All he did, he just chose my stick. And at the end of the session, there was that much left of my stick. I hated so much. But that was the only way that he used to teach us. There was a man called Zuwaymir in 1949. He came to Jabal al-Zaytun. Is there any Palestinian here, Ikhwa? Ikhwa from Palestine? He came to Jabal al-Zaytun in Palestine. And he was ahead of the missionaries. And he said to the people, he said, glad tidings to you. He said, indeed, you create a generation who has no desire to learn the Qur'an. He said, you create this generation who has no desire to learn this deen. And they don't want to learn. Now, when we came here in the West, we still have that picture on the person who is practicing. These people who deserve respect are the imams and the shuyukh. If you want to deal with issue, we say, let us go to the people of knowledge. Who are they? They're not the imams and not the ulama. When someone dies, we call them, yes. When there's a walima, we call them. When there's a maulid and nabawi, we call them, which has no base. We call these people for this event. But when it comes to the issue of this dunya and deen, we don't call them. يقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أهل القرآن أهل الله وخاصته. He said the people of the Quran are Allah's people and His special people. Special slaves. If you recite the book of Allah and you learn the book of Allah, then you are from the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose. ويقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن القلوب تسطى كما يسطع الحديد فقيل يا رسول الله وما جلاؤها فقال تلاوة القرآن وذكر الموت. رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم said the hearts get rusty like the irons also get rusty. They say, يا رسول الله, O Messenger of Allah, how can we cleanse that? How can we remove that rust out of our hearts? يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم reciting the book of Allah and remembering death. If you feel your heart is so hard that the ayat that the Shaykh is reciting will have no effect, then we should recite more of the book of Allah. If you think your tears is not coming down from your eyes, then we should recite more book of Allah and remember death. Because indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will soften our hearts. يقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله علماء رحمهم الله said, now, for us to gain more khushu' reciting the book of Allah, to gain more benefit from the book of Allah, we should follow some etiquettes. And I will only mention, inshallah, 8 etiquettes of the etiquettes that we would aid and help us, inshallah. The first one, ya ikhwah, the person reciting the book of Allah should recite with the best that he can recite. He should be ready mentally. The person who should prepare himself that he's reciting the book of Allah. Not reading a newspaper or magazine. That everything in this book, there's a hikmah behind it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the name of Musa 164 times. And he mentioned the story of Musa and Fir'aun over 71 times. And he mentioned Musa alayhi, Ibrahim alayhi over 64 times. All that is not because we can't understand for the first time. It is because there's a hikmah. There's a hikmah why Allah is repeating this. There's a lesson why Allah will repeat the story of Musa again and again and again. Similarly, so we should not be like the Yahud. And Allah said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ آذَوْا مُوسَى. Don't be like the people who harmed Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Don't be like him. And how did they do? What did they do with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam? Come up in Sahih al-Bukhari. They say Musa is not a man. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam كان رجل عصبي مزاج. Very quick in temper. And he would not tolerate anything. And one of the things that he used to hate is a behavior that Bani Israel used to have. And that is taking bath, taking shower together. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he wants to take a shower, he used to go and hide from Bani Israel and take the shower and come back. Qalu, they said, Musa is not a man. And that's why he's hiding his private part and walking away from us. كما قال الواحدي في التفسير أو في أسباب النزول. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to prove to the Yahud that Musa alayhi salatu wa salam is not less man than them. So Musa decided to take shower or to take bath or to swim, and he took off his clothes and he put it on a stone or a rock. Then Allah commanded that rock to fly with the cloth of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. And Musa ran and chased that stone, that hajar. And the hajar landed in the middle of the Yahud. La'natullahi alayhim. When Musa was so angry and upset with the stone, and he was hitting the stone, وَيَقُولُ ثِيَابِي حَجَر ثَوْبِي حَجَر ثَوْبِي حَجَر. My thobe. Hatta, until Musa alayhi salatu wa salam left marks on that stone. So Allah is teaching us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ آذَوْا مُوسَى فَبَرَّأَهُ اللَّهُ مِمَّا قَالُوا. Don't be like those people who harm Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. And another tafsir, another interpretation of the nuzul of this ayah, كما ذكر الطبراني والقرطبي رحمهم الله, يقول قال قارون. قارون said to one of the بغايا, to one of those evil women, that I will pay you as much as you desire. But at the ceremony tomorrow, when Musa is reading from the book of Allah and he's going to talk about zina, all you have to do is stand up and then say that you indeed committed zina with me. Alayhi salatu wa ma'ad Allah. Then Musa, he recited to the people of Bani Israel. And then Musa talked about ahkam of zina. فقام قارون. He said, should we apply the rules of Allah even on you? He said, yes. Even on me. قال قومي. He said, get up. She stood up. قال فقل لهم كيف زنيت بها. Now tell the people how you committed zina with this woman. Subhanallah. اتق دعوة المظلوم فإن ليس بينها وبين الله حجاب. Be aware of the دعوة المظلوم. Indeed there is no curtain or there is no barrier between that دعوة and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فنظر موسى إلى السماء. Musa looked up. وقال أسألك بالذي فلق البحر بعصاي أزنيت بك. He said, I ask by the one that spread the sea with my stick, did I commit a zina with you? قالت لا والله. She said, by Allah, no. فأنزل الله على محمد يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تكونوا كالذين آذوا موسى فبرأه الله مما قالوا.